And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a few weeks ago now, I delivered a sermon with a theme. The theme was on loving kindness. So kindness is a buzzword right now. It's popping up in social media. It's moving its way into the titles of books and on blogs. It's on signs. And it's in direct response to the flip side of that coin, which lives in the expression of anger and frustration that gets directed towards people who don't agree with one another. Now, I have no problem with not agreeing with one another. I have no problem with anger. What I do see as a problem is the way we express, the way that we listen, and the way that we treat one another despite our understanding of how we believe that the world should be organized, or the way people should be organized. In other words, despite politics. Now, after I delivered that sermon relating to loving kindness, someone came to me and said that they really heard the undertones of criticism that I was giving to our president, which was a shock for me because in writing the sermon and in delivering the sermon, I had never once thought about our president specifically. Preaching on loving kindness is now perceived as a political stance or a partisan opinion, then Houston, we have a problem. Politics is an interesting word. The origin of the word, the Greek politikos, from polites or polis, is citizen or city. So what we have are citizens, are people living in community together, attempting to organize themselves so that they can cohabitate and live and share in the same land, city, country, and world. And over time, the definition has morphed into one that includes the word power and influence, because it meant some of that back then as well. Land meant wealth. Wealth meant power. And the same is true today. So in both senses, the Bible is filled with this juxtapositioning for how to live together in harmony and how the power structures in place either help that or prevent that from happening. And in Mark's gospel, these power structures, the idea of who is in and who is out socially and politically, are being reversed by Jesus time and time again. You remember a few weeks ago, and the disciples hear Jesus talk about his own death, and they can't figure this out. They don't understand. Death isn't how the story ends, so they argue about greatness, and Jesus flips upside down what it means to be great and says, no, the last shall be first. And then later we hear about children, the lowest on the social scale in that society, the lowest of influence and of power. And Jesus instructs his disciples, this is how you get into the kingdom, to be like a child. And then last week we looked at wealth, and Jesus says, you want to enter the kingdom, you have to give it away. If you want the good life, a life of quality over quantity, you have to give it all up. And then again today, in this morning's scripture, Jesus is talking about his death again, only this time with a few more colorful details. And again, the disciples don't fully get it, and James and John are starting to grab hold of this idea that, well, Jesus is going to be glorified into wherever he's going, and they want to go with him. And Baptist preacher Stacy Simpson puts it this way. She says, here Jesus sums it up again. Scripture. You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Jesus reorders power structures among those who wish to follow him. He's been preaching and teaching and living this all along. Had James and John understood, they would never have asked to be at his right and left hand, places that would ultimately be taken by criminals on either side of Jesus' cross. The scene closes with Jesus announcing his mission. In all of Mark's gospel, this is the only time Jesus says a word about his purpose. Listen, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The entire gospel centers on this revelation. Here, discipleship and Christology come together. We who would follow will find our purpose and the power to live in Jesus' teaching. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all, and will have the power to do it because of the one who did it first for us. End quote. So what does that mean for us? In the way that we approach the world around us, or in our relationships with our relatives who see the world differently, or with our friends who see the world differently, or with our fellow congregants who see the world differently, or those who are on the other side of the political fence. Well, I think the first thing we need to do is to stop calling it a political fence or a side, and instead begin understanding that we share the same city, the same block, the same country, and the same world. To be a slave of all is to enter into relationship from a very different kind of power than what James and John are looking for. To enter into a relationship, or even into a room, from a place of service is to enter in before the conversation even begins. It's to enter in with a spirit of generosity and humility. Let me say that again. To enter into a relationship or even a room from a place of service is to enter in before the conversation even begins, to enter with a spirit of generosity and humility. 2004, the World Council of Churches came together to discuss power. And they asked so many good questions. It was the longest PDF that I've read in a really long time. I couldn't get enough of it. Here was the question that struck me. How do we understand the life-affirming potential of the power of service as against the power of domination? Let me say that again. How do we understand the life-affirming potential of the power of service as against the power of domination? And the reason I like that question so much is that's what I believe Mark's gospel is in a nutshell, but specifically for this scripture. And for Jesus, that service, to be a slave for all, is culminated on a cross where the powers of domination crucify him. And Jesus dies to the authorities in power and then reverses again everything 3 days later. Through his death, he takes on that life-affirming power of service for all humanity in one act of selfless love. And what does that do for us? It gives us the freedom to live like Jesus. That's our practice. That's what we do. We don't just believe it. That's our mission, to practice love by following Jesus. Because now we have a choice in how we approach this life, to continue seeking domination and lord over, or to enter into life and into our relationships, into our cities, into our politics, of how we cohabitate in the spirit of servanthood, of serving, and of giving. In his life and in his suffering, Jesus identified the weakest, the vulnerable, and the lost, so that they, with him, might be exalted. And through this identification, the failure of human societies, structures, and governments is exposed. The dying of Jesus is the pivotal point in this process in which power is made perfect in weakness. And that line, power is made perfect in weakness, reminded me of this movement class that we used to take in acting school, and this wonderful teacher who once gave us this as an illustration. It has stayed with me since 1986. When it comes to our body or our approach to life, we confuse strength and weakness as opposites. And to illustrate this understanding, our teacher would hold up her hand and she'd say, we think of strength like this, holding our hands strong and fingers firm. But what if an object or force with weight clashes and makes direct contact with your fingers? What happens? They break. But not if you let your hand go limp. Not if you let your fingers give up the struggle of trying to be strong with some false sense of what it looks like. If your fingers are weak and limp, that same object makes contact and your fingers bend, preventing injury. And so weakness can be the strongest stance that we take. Remember I told you I was reading that really exciting book last week, Parker Palmer, On the Brink of Everything, Grace, Gravity, and Getting Old? I know you're dying to go out and get it. I know you are. You don't have to look at your bullets. Every time I say the quote on your bulletin, all your eyes go down. I'm gonna read it. You don't have to read it. You don't have to look down. He was reframing this question. He says, I used to ask myself, what can I let go of and what can I hold on to? He says, but now I ask, what can I let go of and what can I give myself to? To serve is to ask yourself that question. What can I give myself to? Whether it's an act of service to the poor or an act of service to the sick or acts of service to the other, whether it's entering into conversation with someone who sees the world differently, with someone you don't understand, with someone you don't even like, you don't want to have anything to do with. To serve is to be a slave for all, not just the people we like. And it's to ask, how can I give myself to this person? How can I enter into relationship with compassion, with a listening heart, with curiosity, and with humility? There's this quote going around Facebook. To understand poverty, you have to understand power dynamics. To understand sexism, you have to understand power dynamics. To understand racism, you have to understand power dynamics. And to understand power dynamics, you have to listen with compassion to those who are witnessing being powerless. That's what Jesus did. And you never have to take my word for anything. Just ask, how did Jesus relate to all those others, to all those people in society that the rich and the elite and the ones in power didn't want to have anything to do with? The whole system of cleanliness. Or have anything to do with the sick or the poor or women or children, except for when it benefits our needs. That was the society, and Jesus flips it upside down again and again. The point, one of the 8 points I'm trying to make, the point is not to avoid politics. But to enter into this polarization of fence building and start tearing down the fences through simple, loving kindness and a spirit of service. How do we understand the life-affirming potential of the power of service against the power of domination? That was the question. The answer? Through Jesus Christ. Amen.